Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
Beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely, nicely. Roll program initiated.
I need a website, son.
What, Pop?
I need a website.
Well, if you're like Pop and you need a website, why not get on the internet and type furiousmarketing.com.au? They build all types of websites and can also help you with marketing your website. Furious Marketing can also be found on Facebook at Furious Marketing. So for all things website and marketing, you should be following furiousmarketing.com.au.
Is they furious at me, son?
Shh, no. That's their name. And the ad's over. Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So, Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. And we thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast. Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 440, recorded on the 19th of August 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 noon Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone and or Android app. You can also support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Jacob and myself. And so we're a small band today. So welcome Jacob Jones to the podcast.
Thank you, Daryl.
So yes, we're a very small band today. Brad's away and Aldwin's at a conference, I think, so some intensive conference. So it's just you and I today to shoot the breeze.
Yes, sir.
So we were just, before we came on air, we were both discussing new versions of Skype that have been coming out for, you know, iOS and all that, and some of the issues that, that these new versions have created.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of issues that have happened. Like, for one thing, on the iPhone, you don't know who's online or who's not online.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I had my iPhone app updated the other day, and there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of new things, like, and you could change the background, and there's a lot of stuff like, you know, emoticons and emojis and all the sort of almost Snapchattery type stuff. But one of the major things for me personally is all of a sudden my contact list on Skype, I don't know if someone's online or offline or away, or and it might not seem like a big deal, but for example, a podcast like, you know, Tech Webcast, where we're adding people to the podcast, if that happened on the desktop, how do you know when you're adding your guests, when you're adding your co-host, how do you know if they're actually there and you're ringing them and they might not even be there? So, yeah, I know there's a lot of furious discussions in the Skype forums.
Yeah, there is. And yeah, one of their big problems is they muffed up a little bit is capabilities of the mixer. They nerfed some of the features.
Yeah, exactly. And we just did a test before coming online. So for those that sort of have no idea, I mean, you know, we have the pre-recorded introduction to Tech Webcast. We have a couple of, you know, our sponsor ads, and then we have the outro. And in the past, with, you know, mixing, you could play that and all the other co-hosts and any guests, they'd hear it all. So they'd hear the intro playing, so they know to stay quiet. They'd hear the ad or they'd hear the outro. And quite a while ago now, either it was a bug or deliberately in the Windows version of Skype, they nerfed it. And so now when you play all those sorts of things from your desktop in Windows 10 at least, the other people can't hear it.
Yeah, I tried it in Windows 7, which was odd, and it was working.
So it's obviously, it sounds like it's a Windows 10 bug. And just today, just before we came on air, like started recording, I plugged my iPad into my mixer, and I have a little app on there called Boss Jock, which acts like, for those in sort of like audio, like a soundboard, so you can add tracks to it and it creates like a button for each track. And I played the outro and I played the intro and you were able to hear that, whereas when I played it from the computer, you couldn't hear it, and so you just had to wait for me to start, you know, reading out the introduction.
Yeah. That's pretty terrible, because there's a lot of people on Minecraft. I was watching them, and they all dropped Skype and all went to Discord.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I mean, for a number of people who just use Skype to make a phone call to family and friends, and that's all they do, they're not going to be that bothered. But there's a lot of Skype is used by a lot of gamers, you know, when they're keeping in contact with each other and they're playing and they're recording for YouTube. It's used by a lot of podcasters because it's just, you know, most people have Skype. And that's the thing, when you're trying to get a guest and you say, can you come online and have a chat? You know, you don't want to be telling the guest you've got to go out and download this special, you know, video chat program. But they will, if they don't sort it out, added to what we mentioned earlier about, you know, the iOS app, yeah, as you said, more and more people are just going to jump ship and move away to other... And there are some other good products out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that were upset, especially you and I. Yeah, but Macs are unaffected.
At the moment they're unaffected. I mean, so it smells to me like it was actually a bug. I don't think Microsoft deliberately said we're going to, you know, disable that ability. But the problem is, it's in Microsoft's list of bug fixes. It's probably not a high priority, because I say that, well, most people don't have mixers. Most people don't, you know, do what we're doing. But, yeah, there's still enough that I think it will impact on them, and people will jump to Discord, or they'll jump to Zoom, or they might even just... And they might jump back to Google Hangouts. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, for one thing, with Google Hangouts, I wouldn't trust them, because I was in a Google Hangout a while back. It keeps trying to, like, throttle my mic.
Yeah, you get a lot of those And Skype will actually do that too in your audio settings. If you're not careful, Skype will try and manage your microphone volume. Now, that's fine if you're just chatting to, you know, your friends online and you're not that, you're not recording anything. But you do want, you can switch that off on Skype. I don't know about Hangouts. But yeah, sometimes it can be a nuisance when it's trying to decide what it thinks is the best volume for you. Particularly if you've got a mixer and too, and you know what your volume levels are. So yeah, that can be very, very annoying.
Yeah, it can be very annoying because a lot of times, like if someone wants to play a piece of music and they can't hear it.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And when you're doing something, I mean, I know with some podcasters, you know, they'll have their, you know, intros and outros and any other things on separate files. They'll do the interview if it's an interview or the episode, and then they'll do a lot of post production. They'll, you know, edit and add the music in and that's fine. I mean, but like with someone like Tech Webcast, I mean, we do very little editing. We virtually just at the beginning of the, when you click record, you just get rid of the dead air before the stuff starts playing and any dead air at the end. And that's really it. So even though we're recording this now, by the time you're listening to it, it's basically live because we don't go in and chop out big sections in the middle and add things later, unless there was something like, you know, someone dropped out and we had a lot of, you know, trouble. We might go in and, you know, delete that. But so yeah, having the ability to be able to play music through your mixer or play other things through your mixer, and having everybody, you know, hearing that is really important. But at least now I've found at least the iPad, you can do that. And you can do it on the iPhone too, the Boss Jock. The Boss Jock app works on both iPhone and iPad. And you just need to be able to plug it into your mixer and into an input to your mixer. And it will come out and it'll play. And so that's also very handy because the other thing with Boss Jock is you're not, like at the moment, you know, you've got to click on a file on your desktop and double click, open it. It then takes a split second or two to start playing. Boss Jock plays instantaneously, and you can switch it off instantaneously if you want to. So yeah, I think it's handy. I need to test it a little bit more to make sure that the audio levels on my mixer work with it. But I think it's great. I'm going to sort of recommend that to Brad when he gets back, that maybe he gets Boss Jock on his iPad, and then if, you know, there's any issues with his Mac version of Skype, he can then use Boss Jock.
Yes, he can.
And it means you can add other things. So if, for example, we were discussing a tech issue and, you know, there might have been an audio interview with someone here, say, just listen to this, and then we'll come back and talk about it. You can just play it. You're not rummaging around looking on your desktop and having to have everything all lined up on your desktop. Like at the moment, I've got, you know, the intro, the outro, the two ads all lined up on my desktop. But you just have them all in Boss Jock and you just tap it, which I think is really nice. So any sort of, I mean, I'm sure there are other soundboard type apps out there. I mean, it's not just Boss Jock, and Boss Jock is not free. So, but I'm sure there are other soundboard apps. And there are also desktop soundboard apps for computers out there too. But some of the, again, if your computer's a little bit sluggish, you then have that where it's, you know, you click on it and it waits and then it starts playing. And then, you know, you've got dead air sort of scattered throughout your podcast that you have to tidy up afterwards.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
But the other thing I was going to ask you about, because I know you've been playing Xbox games, and I know with Brad, is it GTA, I think it was a vehicle, GTA. So so you've been doing. I've still got the old Xbox 360, so I'm still in the dinosaur age. But so how are you finding Xbox? The Xbox One, you know, how you find the games on it? Is it getting better and better?
Yes, it's getting better. What's going on is they're getting more backward support. So now all the old games you can play on the on the Xbox One.
Ah, so if I got an Xbox One at some stage, I could play my Skyrim on it, because it was originally for Xbox 360, but then they brought out a Skyrim Special Edition. And I presume it was an Xbox One game as well. But so anybody that's out there that's got a heap of old legacy 360 games that's was sort of thinking, do I really want to upgrade to Xbox One because I'll lose the ability to play them, they can now play them.
Yes, they can.
Oh, well, that's good. I know that's probably been around for a while now, but, I mean, that's good to know, because if you invest a lot of money, you know, if you buy a lot of games and over the years, if you had an Xbox 360 for years and years and years and bought a whole, you know, cabinet full of games, the last thing you want is to suddenly find you can't play any of them.
Yeah, and also with the big ups to them, they added the Spotify app to the Xbox.
Ah, Spotify, so you can play your, you can stream your music through. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, other than games, what are some of the really good apps now that have made their way to the Xbox One? So Spotify is one.
Netflix, Amazon Video.
Ah, yeah, and hopefully in Australia we'll be getting that sooner rather than later, because because we're, certainly Amazon is coming to Australia. You know, they've already bought land in Melbourne they've bought a big site to build their distribution centre in Melbourne. So Amazon's coming, but yeah, that's great. I mean, because it means then your Xbox becomes like a set-top box.
Oh, yeah. And actually, it's allowed to push the TV signal through the Xbox.
Ah, okay. So, and yes, I noticed that. And I noticed there's some apps now in the US that you can stream your normal TV channels through now. I think Google's doing something like that.
But what it is... you have the HDMI coming off that your receiver, your cable box. You put it into the Xbox, then you hook up the other HDMI and put that into a TV. It passes through.
Ah, so it's got passed through. So that means you've got less cables and less ports being taken up with cables, you know, with HDMI cables. Now, if you can pass it through, so that's really good. That's good, but. So you've got Netflix and you've got Spotify. So do you play Spotify a lot on your Xbox now?
Since it's been out for a few days, I have.
Yep. So that's good. I mean, it's like out here where, you know, with the one of our commercial networks just made a massive loss, the 7 network here, you know, and trying to compete against the likes of Netflix and Stan and all the sort of catch-up TV is making it really difficult. And now that, you know, you've got platforms like Xbox and I guess, you know, Nintendo and I guess PlayStation, and they're all, hopefully, they're all sort of providing a platform for other apps, so it's going to make it even more difficult for the TV networks.
Of course.
But, so that's the Xbox, so... And I noticed, as I say, I play Skyrim quite a bit, but I've got it on my notebook at the moment because I wanted to fiddle around with, you know, the modding community, and you couldn't mod, when I had it on the Xbox 360 Skyrim, you can't mod it. And so I was fiddling around with, you know, mods for various, that made, added a lot of functionality to the game, and I did it through the Steam, And it's quite easy to, and I was amazed how quickly I could actually, you know, add quite a few mods to some of these games. And there's quite a huge gaming modding community out there that take a game and not only do they add extra functions, but quite often they actually bug fix the game. And I mean, it's ironic that, you know, Bethesda that did, you know, Skyrim, even though it stopped producing Skyrim years ago, other than you know, updating the graphics and with the special edition and all that. But the modding community got out there and fixed a lot of these bugs that Bethesda wouldn't fix.
Yeah. Could you name some of the bugs that you're having?
Well, there were bugs like in some of the quest lines that meant, you know, if you did a certain thing in a certain way, if a character was supposed to appear and, you know, progress the quest and say something to you, we'll do something. Sometimes it didn't happen. So then the quest stopped working because you couldn't go to the next level. And so you were stuck. And so unless you had an old save and you'd go back and you'd try it again. And then even things like, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the other bugs, but there were graphics bugs that sort of meant sometimes, you know, you could go somewhere and sometimes you'd fall through the world occasionally, or you'd get jammed on and get stuck. You know, you'd be climbing up a hillside somewhere and you get caught in and you couldn't get out. And then if you hadn't saved in a while, you'd have to go back to a previous save. But they brought out patches. The modding community to sort of fix their own sort of, you know, unofficial patches to fix a lot of those sorts of things over the years, and the whole thing of graphics, you know, people that hated Bethesda's graphics that said it wasn't good enough, and they brought out all these graphics, so, you know, they made rivers and oceans look better, they made the sky look a hell of a lot better, and then they've actually added, you know, like with a lot of games you get DLCs. Add content to a game. Well, just recently, a modding community added one called Bruma to Skyrim, which basically, if you're a Elder Scrolls fan, that's it adds a whole new area to the game in another province called Cyrodiil, and it adds a whole new layers of quests and all that sort of stuff. And they're gradually going to build more onto that. Which just turns the game. You might have bought the game 4 or 5 years ago, and you might have thought, "Oh, I've done everything I possibly can," and now it just builds, it adds extra layers onto the game, and you can go and play again.
Yeah, it's like when I was playing my old game Diablo 2 on my computer, I was like, "Whoa, where the heck is all that coming from?" Yeah, one of them. Was a heavy glitch. They have like the sorceress. Like you go through the game once, then she comes back a second time.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean the glitches can be, as like minor things, but they can really be frustrating, particularly if you're doing one of the major quests in a game and you get partway through it and you're supposed to, you know, meet someone in the game that's going to tell you something or give you something or whatever, and it glitches out because of a bug and you just can't progress the quest and you're basically stuck. And you can go back to an old save and say, well, I'll try it again, and sometimes it'll work around and fix. And like with Skyrim, these were known bugs and Bethesda just never bothered to fix them. And yet, you know, they made probably over $1 billion out of the original game, and then they've made quite a bit of money out of pumping out, you know, extra editions where they've updated the graphics and they pushed it to 64-bit and all that. But they still, there were a range of those bugs. They still didn't take the chance then to say, well, we'll fix those bugs while we're doing that. They still just left them there. And yet you've got this wonderful modding community out there, and most of them are not getting paid a cent for doing all this stuff, you know, and that have recoded a lot of it. And now they're adding, you know, almost like unofficial DLCs, like these big mods like Bruma and all that. They're huge, you know, they're really, really big mods, and they're giving you extra land to explore, extra quests to do, and the voice acting on them is really, really good. I mean, considering, you know, they're not the Bethesda actors that they obviously get for their game, the voice acting is incredibly good, considering, you know. Yeah, I was really impressed that at least it takes a game that's like 6-7 years old now that you would think, oh, well, I've played that to death, there's nothing more I can do, I'll just retire it, and it adds extra functionality to it.
Yeah, like the Diablo 3, it was just like one game. Now it's like three games in one.
Yep. Yep. So what would be your, if you could choose a favourite game of all time, what would be your favourite game? Because you're much more of a gamer than I am.
Oh, there's way too many because I'm watching YouTube videos, playing the games.
Yep.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, do you have a particular genre of game? I mean, do you like us? Like, I know you were saying GTA. You know, you and Brad get online and play that together. So, is there a particular like format of game that you like best?
Action and RPG and stuff like that, and strategy.
Yep. So and so with GTA, are they still adding things to it? Like it's been out for quite a while now. I mean, are they still adding things to the online version, or the multiplayer version?
Yes, they are. They've added quite a bit.
Yep. Because I remember when it first came out, of course, you know, you watch the YouTube videos and all the big YouTube gamers are all, you know, recording and playing it. And then, of course, they move on to the next big game that comes out. And I'd sort of lost track of what was happening with it. But so they're still adding things to make it interesting.
Yes, they are. It's just it takes forever for them to get an update. Yeah, for people in Australia.
Yep.
Some of their updates are, like, if it's a special update, it will be like a 20-gig update.
Oh, yeah, and that takes a lot, like downloading that takes hours and hours and hours. Well, 20 gigs, yeah, depending on... If you're pre-NBN here in Australia, yes, it could be just go to bed and hopefully the next afternoon it might be downloaded.
Yeah, I would say keep your Xbox on powered on mode, but so it could quickly turn on and get all your updates and stuff.
Yeah, that's another issue that, you know, out here with the NBN, you know, people saying, oh, why do you need, you know, I've had people in my age group who are not that into computers who say to me, why do we need all this speed? Why are they going to be spending all these billions of dollars on rolling this stuff out? And that's what my argument is. I mean, you know, updates, not just to games, but to a lot of things, are very large these days. And, you know, unless you want your computer or your television that is plugged in unusable for, you know, 3 or 4 days while it's updating, you need these speeds.
Yeah, like me... I had wireless going on my Xbox. I would have like 40% packet loss.
Yep.
That put on my LAN cable. It's like I'm downloading. As far as sound facetious, I was sound pretty bad. I should say. I could download a 210 megabytes a second.
Yep.
With a gigabit cable.
Yep. And I mean, you know, and it's also the future. You know, 4K video is now, you know, it's becoming more prevalent. I mean, a lot of your DSLR cameras that have video capabilities also are now, you know, you can now record in 4K, and it's only going to be a matter of time before it becomes the next de facto video standard. And if you don't have a fast internet, you're going to have Buckley's and none of being able to stream anything. You know, if the big streaming providers go, say, totally 4K one day, and you're still on the, you know, you haven't got the fast internet, you're just going to be buffering all the time.
Majorly.
And so that's the thing that I argue with. You know, I mean, as I say, my friend, the people I talk to, some they're sort of from before the PC era and before, you know, before the internet era, and so they don't use it a lot, and they don't understand. They think, well, the speeds are fine now, but they don't understand what's coming down the pipeline in technology terms and why you need to be able to have a system where you can easily increase people's internet speeds to cope with all these changes.
I know. Like, it's like these people I watch on YouTube. They, what they're doing is they're like dumpster diving, and they're finding everything, like phones and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube's to become, I mean, you know, the first thing I do is if I'm looking at buying something, and maybe it's something in the technology area, like, and the first thing I generally do after I've looked at the website of the manufacturer of it is I'll look at YouTube videos for, firstly, for reviews of what other people think of it, and then, like, maybe some how-to videos on how you do some sort of, you know, like, basic usage of it. And yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you can get, you know, as long as you watch a number of them and don't just watch one or two, because sometimes some YouTubers have a bias either to support something because maybe the manufacturer has given them a freebie, or some of them are just anti a certain brand and will just, you know, run it down. But if you do watch a number of videos from different YouTubers who are, you know, maybe it might, you might want to buy a camera or something, and so you just type in, say, Canon, whatever the model is, into YouTube, and reviews and how-to guides and stuff, it's flooded with them.
Right, right.
And there's a lot, yeah. Yep, go ahead.
There's a lot of good stuff in there that I've seen, like talking about games and stuff.
Yep. Woo. Yeah. Well, you've done videos yourself on how to do certain things on your YouTube channel.
Yes, like my unboxing videos that I've done.
Yeah, that's a whole other genre, isn't it? Unboxing. I mean, how many times, you know, people say, you know, you might, I know, again, people in my generation and older, someone say, well, why would you want to watch a video of someone opening a box to a certain device? And it sounds weird in a way, but then when you think, well, you might not, the site that you're looking at buying from might not give you a full explanation of what you're supposed to get in that box, you know, what cables, what whatever, and how it's even packaged, you know. And I've seen some of those unboxing videos where the YouTuber has complained that the packaging it came in was so poor that the product was damaged on the way. And so that gives you an idea, if you're looking at buying that, to think, well, no, I'm not going to get it from XYZ because they don't package it correctly.
Or, matter of fact, they send you the wrong version of a game that you're looking for. They send you a UK version when you need the US version.
Yeah, occasionally that happens here if you buy something from, say, Amazon, and it's an electronic, and you've got to be very careful that it comes either with the right power plugs to plug into, say, the Australian PowerPoints. Otherwise, you've then got to go out with the added expense and try and find some adapter that will do it. And so sometimes by watching the unboxing, they'll say, oh, it only comes with US or whatever. That can give you a clue too, so that you don't suddenly get your new toy in the mail and then find you can't use it.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's, but YouTube has become, as I say, for those out there who may think YouTube is just all cat videos and or whatever, it's become a great resource if you're wanting to learn how to use. So if you've got that new, say, DSLR camera and it's got all the buttons and menu options and you're not already familiar with, you know, how to use a DSLR, and you've got the manual, but still, jump online, put in the model number of your camera and just type, you know, how to or whatever, and you will get a list of videos, and you can just scroll through to your heart's content and, you know, and then subscribe to the YouTuber that you think, wow, that guy does it, or that girl does a really great video. And just subscribe to them, and you'll get updates all the time. So it's, and we find it even education-wise, you know, more and more people that used to come into our place and do, sometimes do a short course on something, they don't do it anymore because they can go to YouTube and do it, which affects our business, but it means they can go and get it for free on YouTube.
Yeah, like what I was looking at is that, you know, like a sleeper, like a sleeper computer is?
A sleeper computer?
what a sleeper computer is a modern computer hidden in like a old style computer.
Like you got a retro case and then you have the modern stuff inside it.
Like you got, like for say, you got like a Packard Bell case.
Yep.
But you rip out all the guts out of the original.
Yep.
Then you put in like modern stuff that then looks like it's an old computer, but when you turn it on, it's like running Windows 10.
Oh, so other than just to show off, like to sort of trick your friends and that, what's the reason behind having the sleeper computer? Why would you do that rather than, say, just buying the modern computer as is?
Some people might want a custom build and stuff like that, so...
Yep. So it's not just about, you know, maybe fooling your family and friends and into thinking you're using some ancient old computer, but in reality you've got this really fast, modern computer inside, but it's because of people like to sort of custom make things.
Yeah. Is the video I was watching, the guy on the motherboard, it didn't have the reset button, or the normal power button. So he had to use his reset button as the power button.
Ah. So there are actual really good reasons in some cases. So you tinker. I mean, you're someone who often, you know, pulls apart computers and changes things in them. So that you can get things to the purpose built for you. Oh, we got a barking dog that wants to get on the podcast. See, I told you it's a live podcast.
Certainly not dead.
It's certainly not dead anyway. But anyway, we've come up to sort of almost 40 minutes, so I guess what we'll do is we'll round this off. And as I say to everyone out there, Brad was away today. He had some family issues to deal with. And Aldwyn is at a conference, and normally she can jump out of conferences, and she actually does a really great job at times of getting out of a conference for the podcast and then going back. But today was quite an intensive one, apparently, so, and that's fair enough. You know, you pay for these conferences and things to go to, so, and some of them cost quite a bit of money, so you can understand why she would want to be in that today. But I'm sure she will be back on deck next week. And for those of you, and I'll give a plug for the Patreon, if you enjoy Tech Webcast and you want to support Tech Webcast in any way, jump across to patreon.com/techwebcast and you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. And I went down the street and bought a cappuccino this morning before I came back to start the podcast, and that was $4.50. So, you know, if you like your coffee, just think of it like it's about, you know, it's just a fraction of what a coffee is that you might buy each day on your way to work. And believe me, the more people that do that, the more it supports the podcast continuing. We've done 440 episodes, and so that's a big effort. And so it's, you know, Tech Webcast is not a fly-by-nighter, is it? You've been here since almost the beginning, haven't you, Jacob?
Since 2012.
Yeah, well, that's a long time ago, so you'd be way back in the early episodes anyway. So and as you know, a lot of podcasts come and go. You know, they start off with a big fanfare and they do 10 or 20 episodes, and then all of a sudden you're waiting for the next episode and it just never happens because the podcaster, you know, runs out of steam or whatever the reason. But Brad is determined to keep Tech Webcast going, and he's done 440 episodes, and I think that's a pretty good effort, I would say.
Yes, it is. He's doing a good job with it.
Yeah, and he gets some really good guests, and you know, I'm amazed how he, the guests, you know, he gets people like Robert Scoble and and you know, people who I'd never think would come, you know, particularly to an Australian podcast. So the only one I reckon he I know you would love to get with someone like Leo Laporte, but if you can get Leo, then he would be at the top of the tree, because I think Leo probably gets about X amount of 1,000 requests a week from podcasters to come on the program. But no, Brad gets some really interesting guests, some really high profile guests on the show. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he blackmails them. But no, only joking. He doesn't blackmail them. He just emails them and asks them. And that's what he says. If you ask, then who knows? They might come on. So, but also if you want to be a potential guest on Tech Webcast, you can contact Brad from his website, techwebcast.info, and find his contact details. If you're into technology or something like that and you want to appear yourself, get in touch with Brad and he can arrange a time for you to appear.
Yes. On the website, there is a contact form. You just put your name, yep, your email, and your message.
Cool.
It'll come right to Brad.
And you couldn't be much more easier than that. And I'm sure as soon as that you do something like that, Brad will be in touch with you ASAP to work out when you can appear. So you might be a guest on Tech Webcast one day. We might be talking to you out there.
Yes, sir.
So I think that any sort of final thoughts, Jacob, before we sort of wrap up this sort of you and I having a chewing the breeze episode?
Nothing. We're all pretty good right now.
Yeah, no. We sort of had a bit on gaming, a bit on sort of Skype and all those sorts of things. But if you listen to this podcast regularly and you say, hey, I'd wish they'd talk on this topic or I wish they'd do that, feedback is always welcome, but I do emphasise constructive feedback. So if you're just going to come and say, this podcast sucks, then, you know, that means nothing to anybody. So, but if you've got any constructive feedback, any, you know, topics you'd like discussed, or if you reckon there's a guest that you'd love to see us try and get, please, again, go to the website and fill in the contact form and fill in the little message there and say, hey, and we would love, or jump on to facebook.com/techwebcast, our Facebook page, and like the page. And then once you like the page, you can add a comment below about any episode that you've watched, and we will get back to you. So I think that's about it.
Yes, that's pretty darn good.
So, I will, because just to follow on from our Skype discussion, I'm going to click on the little outro, and Jacob won't hear it, but I'll hear it. And
say where they can follow us from.
Yeah, they can follow us. Yes, I almost forgot that, because we usually do that at the end of the show. Jacob, where can they follow you on social media before we finish up?
They can follow me at jazzbot32669 1z.
1z. And they can follow me on the Twitters at LearnScape and on Google Plus at Daryl Hunt. And if you'd really want to, you can find me on LinkedIn and all those other things, which I post to occasionally. So just search for Daryl Hunt. And that's it. So do you want to end the show, Jacob?
We're all good.
So another tech webcast is in the can.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10,
Tech Webcast.
9,
Tech Webcast.
8,
Tech Webcast.
7,
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast.
6,
Tech Webcast.
5,
Tech Webcast.
5,
Tech Webcast.
5,
Tech Webcast.
4,
Tech Webcast.
3,
Tech Webcast.
3,
Tech Webcast.
2,
Tech Webcast.
1,
Tech Webcast. for liftoff. Climbing nicely, Mr. State. Roll program initiated.